Chapter 16. I prodded the supervillain's corpse with my foot, just to make sure that he was dead. But when he stayed completely limp, I figured that he didn't have any surprise resurrection powers that I needed to worry about.
I can't believe it's over.
Elizabeth sighed.
The maniac is really gone.
And everybody in Greyville gets to live to see another sunrise. Not bad for one night's work.
The Shadow Knight would be very disappointed.
My girlfriend teased. Oh, that just makes our victory even sweeter. In fairness, though, the Shadow Knight played a big part of our win tonight, so maybe he would appreciate that on some level.
So what now?
Elizabeth asked. Well, now we call the cops and let them deal with this mess, and we go back to the mansion for a little R&R.
I have just sent a message to the police dispatcher that they will find the maniac's body here.
Eileen said.
So that is already taken care of.
Oh, Eileen. I said with a grin. Have I told you lately what a good job I did when I made you?
Yes, but I am always happy to hear that I am functioning up to your standards, Creator.
My android replied. Oh, you just exceeded them, actually. I had a feeling that not even a superpowered brain could keep up with your processing speeds, but it's nice to be proven right. Again.
Then let's get the hell back to the mansion.
Elizabeth groaned.
I could definitely catch up on some sleep.
I knew that I could use a little sleep, too, so I let Eileen drive us back to our Greyville mansion, and on the way, I told Norma the good news, that we had killed the maniac, so she and the others could go ahead and get some rest. Norma promised that they would stay awake until I got home, but when we got back to the mansion, Norma and Penumbra had both fallen asleep together on the couch while they waited for me to return, and Beacon had passed out at the kitchen table. We snuck past them so they could keep sleeping, but I wanted to grab a bottle of water from the kitchen, so I let Elizabeth go up ahead to her room to pass out. Her night had been a little rougher than everybody else's, so I wanted her to have plenty of time to recover. And besides, I had something else that I wanted to do before I went to sleep. After I grabbed a bottle of water from the kitchen, I caught Eileen before she headed down to the basement. She looked at me curiously, but I just shook my head and nodded at the stairs up to my bedroom. I put my finger to my lips to remind her to be quiet, and then we moved silently up the stairs. As soon as we were alone in my room, I closed the door and turned toward my beautiful android. "You were incredible tonight," I told her.
"So were you,"
Eileen replied as she fluttered her long eyelashes at me.
"I did enjoy fighting with Dynamo, but I miss when it was just the two of us, Creator, even before Norma came along."
"Really?" I grinned. "And why is that?"
"I am not able to feel jealousy,"
Eileen said.
"But I did like when I had you all to myself, and when I did not have to share your attention with anyone else."
"I think that's the definition of jealousy, Eileen. Maybe your consciousness is still evolving, so you're starting to feel more emotions than you used to."
"I am not sure how I feel about that,"
the beautiful android said.
"But perhaps it will make me a better asset to you."
"Oh, you're perfect just as you are. But your consciousness is advanced enough to know where and when it still needs to evolve, so if it happens, it happens."
"But what do humans do with this feeling of jealousy?"
Eileen demanded.
"Or, at least, what am I supposed to do with it?"
"Oh, I've got one idea," I said as I moved toward her across the bedroom. "We can do something else very human."
"Sex?"
Eileen's blue eyes went wide. "Yeah," I said, and then slipped my arm around her waist. "I'd hate for you to think that I wasn't giving you enough attention."
"Yes, please,"
the android said. I leaned in to kiss her soft lips and couldn't decide what I liked more, the fact that I had designed her skin or the feeling of it pressed up against mine. But when Eileen slipped out of her clothes and pulled my shirt over my head so she could then press her perfect bare breasts up against me, well, I figured out my answer pretty quickly. I just wanted to bury my head into her full cleavage, but instead I ran my fingers down her skin until I gripped her slender waist and pulled her even tighter against me. Every inch of her felt like a real woman, and I congratulated myself again for creating someone whose greatest desire was to please me. And right now, what would please me the most would be to bring my beautiful android to orgasm. I teased apart her lips and began to explore her mouth with my tongue, while Eileen slid her hands down to my waist so she could unbuckle my pants. I paused, just long enough to let her kneel down and pull my pants over my ankles, but before I could help her back up to her feet, Eileen just settled onto her knees in front of me, and then looked up at me with her warm blue eyes.
You don't mind if I go first, do you?
Eileen purred in her low, sultry voice. Oh, not if you insist, I snickered. The beautiful android gently wrapped her lips around the end of my shaft, and as soon as I felt the warmth of her mouth on my tip, my cock instantly hardened and grew to its full length inside her mouth. I groaned as she began to slide her lips up and down my shaft, and when she added in a few strokes of her tongue every time she moved back down onto my cock, I had to reach out to grab the bedpost for balance. Eileen swallowed more of my shaft every time she bobbed down, and since she didn't have a gag reflex, she could slide all the way down and just hold my stiff cock in her mouth while her tongue continued to graze every side of my shaft. Oh, that's it. Get that pretty little android ass on the bed.
It is pretty,
Eileen said as she slid her lips back off of my cock.
But I do not think my ass is little.
No, it's definitely not. I snickered as I pulled her to her feet and reached around to grab a handful of her ample ass. That's just an expression. The beautiful android turned around, leaned forward to wiggle her ass toward me, and then started to climb onto the bed. But I didn't let her get that far. Instead, while we were both still standing, I grabbed her hips, pushed her pelvis up against the side of the bed, and pushed down on her back to press her torso against the mattress.
Oh, yes.
Eileen moaned as she moved her legs a little further apart for me.
Just take me, Creator.
I pressed my tip up against her tight entrance and then slowly pushed in a little at a time so the android's sensory receptors could feel every inch of my full length as I thrust into her. After I slid fully into her slick tunnel, I pulled back out, kept my hand pushed down on her back, and then shoved my cock into her again. Eileen moaned every time I thrust into her, and when I grabbed another handful of her round ass and then slapped her firm cheek, her moans started to grow louder and deeper. As I continued to fuck her, the beautiful android slipped one hand underneath herself to reach down and play with her clit, at the same time I plunged my dick into her. So between her fingers and my cock, Eileen started to purr and hum louder and louder.
Oh, Creator!
The android cried out.
Oh!
She gripped the sheets with one hand as she climaxed, and the next time I plunged my cock into her, I held it there as I felt her body shake against me. When she finished, she collapsed against the mattress, but I wasn't done with her just yet. Ah, now you can get on the bed, I said as I pulled out of her. Eileen immediately crawled onto the bed on all fours, and the sight of her perfectly round ass just waiting for me was enough to drive me crazy. As the android positioned herself on all fours, I climbed onto the mattress after her, gripped her broad hips again, and pressed my cock up against her slick pussy. I plunged my cock fully inside her on my first thrust this time, and we both groaned at how good her tight tunnel felt around my shaft. As I began to pump my hips and shove my cock into her over and over again, I heard her tits bounce against each other with each thrust until the sound alone was almost enough to make me come. But first, I wanted to see if I could get her to short-circuit again. The harder I fucked her, the more Eileen sounded like she was enjoying herself. But then the whole bed began to squeak from our efforts, and the android reached forward to grip the headboard with both hands for a little extra stability. I didn't miss a beat, and instead just kept thrusting inside her velvety tunnel, while Eileen slowly began to crush the metal frame of the headboard with her powerful grip. She felt so good every time I plunged into her that all I wanted to do was fill the beautiful android up with my cum, and when Eileen started to bend the metal headboard instead of just crush it, I knew that we were about to come at the same time. Eileen suddenly cried out, and then her robotic grip simply broke the metal headboard into two pieces. As soon as I felt the beautiful android orgasm again, I let myself come inside her. My seed erupted from the tip of my shaft to flood her smooth tunnel, and I plunged into her one final time as my muscles spasmed to release the last of my load. When I pulled out of her, Eileen immediately flipped herself around and leaned down to suck the last of my cream from my cock. Then she leaned back on the pillows, reached down to where my cum dripped out of her entrance, and then raised her fingers to her lips to lick them clean.
"You taste so good, Creator,"
the beautiful android said in a tone that, well, almost sounded like a sigh. "Oh, good, because there's more where that came from," I said with a smirk, and then I moved to join her where she leaned back on the pillows.
"Should I go resume work on—"
"Shh." I interrupted as I felt my eyelids grow heavy. "I think we've more than earned some sleep by now."
"But I do not need sleep,"
Eileen said. "No, but you can do everything that you need to from right here," I said, and reached over to tuck my arm around her waist. "If you're starting to feel human emotions like jealousy, well, you might as well get the full human experience of sex. And right now, that means you can stay here with me until morning."
"As you wish, Creator,"
Eileen purred.
"But only if we have another round of sex before the morning."
"I think that can be arranged." The next morning, after a third round of sex with Eileen, I woke up and led her down to join the others around the kitchen table. Penumbra and Beacon were talking at the table, Norma was moving back and forth between the fridge and the stovetop, and Elizabeth had just sat down at the table when Eileen and I walked in.
"I've been banished from the stove,"
my girlfriend told me when I walked in with Eileen.
"Norma says I can't be trusted around food that isn't microwavable. I'm also skeptical of your ability with a microwave,"
Norma called out from behind the refrigerator door.
"You might be a badass when it comes to superhero stuff, but you just burned two batches of waffles in a row." "It's true."
"Well, not everyone can be an omni-average superhero," I said with a smile at Norma. My mousy assistant, of course, instantly turned pink. "So what's next?" Beacon asked as he took a sip of coffee.
"Next? Maybe we should all take a minute to appreciate the fact that Miles just took down Grayville's most, like, fearsome supervillain, you know?"
"It was impressive," I said with a smirk.
"I can't decide which one was more impressive, the fact that you were able to kill the maniac, or the fact that you created Eileen, who was the key to helping you kill him."
"It could be both," I said with a shrug. "Is there more coffee, Norma?"
"Of course,"
my assistant said from beside the stove now.
"I can bring—"
"I'll get my own, thanks," I said, and then moved toward her to grab a mug. "Nice work with the choppers last night, by the way. You took them out faster than I expected."
"Well, I had help,"
Norma said as her cheeks turned even more pink. "I know, but I reviewed the news footage of everything this morning, and you were really amazing up there."
"Thanks, boss,"
my mousy assistant said, and then swallowed.
Miles?"
"Yes." I raised an eyebrow.
"Maybe later I could talk to you about, see, there's this kind of this thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and now that the maniac is out of the way, I thought, what's that burning smell?"
Elizabeth asked from the table.
"Oh, drats, I forgot about the bacon."
She hurried toward the stove to take off the extra crispy bacon, so I poured my coffee and moved back toward the table to join the others. "So, what did you want to talk to me about?" I asked as I passed behind Norma.
"Nothing, it doesn't matter."
I had my doubts about that, but she would talk to me whenever she was ready. And she was so flustered at the moment that clearly now was not quite the right time. "So what do you think? What's next for you, Miles?" I sat down between Penumbra and Eileen, and I was pleased to see that even though my beautiful android didn't need to eat anything, she still sat at the table with the rest of my team so we could discuss our plans. "Well, I haven't told any of you this yet, but now that the maniac is dead, along with a bunch of other supervillains in town, I want to leave Grayville."
"Oh, then you,
Well, you're welcome to come with me, Veronica," I said with a smile. If you still want to leave Greyville, that is.
If it means I get to stay with you, then hell yes!
And what about you? I asked Beacon. Do you think you can handle the supervillains left in Greyville on your own? Well, you did take out all the worst ones, so I think I can take care of the rest. It's like a different city now than it was when the Shadow Knight ran things. The police feel more confident, and the heavy oppression on the citizens' shoulders is much lighter. That's just because Slade let the bad guys run all over him, instead of putting them down like they deserved. But yeah, I think I can take care of Greyville from here on out. And I can always ask you guys to come back if I run into anything really bad. And Slade Industries? Well, I'm starting to get the hang of things there. And plus, I got Julian to help me.
I'm sure he can also help you design any weapons and vehicles that you want to use, too.
Norma said as she brought in waffles and bacon for everyone. Yeah, and he can also help me invest more in Greyville's development. I really want to make Greyville a nice place to live. Somewhere that supervillains don't ever want to come set up shop in, you know? Community investment is all well and good, but don't turn yourself into a martyr. Maybe get yourself a yacht or something. I could do that, too.
Will you still use the name Beacon? I know Slade gave that name to you, so...
Well, he might have given it to me, but I've made it my own now, Beacon said with a shrug. It'll be like the Shadow Knight's lair. It might have been his idea first, but I plan to make it my own, too. It'll just take a little... Okay, a lot of redecorating.
Good luck getting rid of all those feathers,
Norma said with a smirk.
Where are we going next?
Eileen asked.
Can we return to Pinnacle City yet?
As much as I'd like to, I don't think that's the smartest move at the moment. I'd love to go up against Optimo and the rest of the Wardens, but I think we'll probably need a little more practice first, so we can pick another test city like Greyville.
I understand what you mean, even though I'm ready to get rid of Optimo too. But even though Optimo might underestimate his opponents, you never do, Miles.
Exactly, I said with a nod. So I want to make sure that we can plan for every possibility, and that means we probably should get in some more practice somewhere else first.
Actually,
Eileen said,
there is something that I wanted to.
My public phone suddenly rang from the coffee table in the living room, so Elizabeth hurried over to grab it. When she looked at the number, her turquoise eyes flashed with anger, and she tossed it to me almost hard enough to punch a hole in the wall.
It's fucking Optimo. That asshole really has some kind of timing, doesn't he?
It's a beautiful morning in Greyville, I told Optimo when I answered the phone. What can I do for you, Optimo?
You must think you're really something,
Optimo spat.
You think you're so tough because you took out the maniac?
Well, yeah, I said with a smirk. Now, I know you're disappointed because you weren't fast enough to take care of him yourself, but...
I'm fast enough!
Optimo screeched. Oh, well, of course you are, I said as I rolled my eyes. Even though most men don't brag about how fast they are.
The mayor wouldn't agree to give us the funds,
Optimo said.
But when the maniac's second message came through... I was gathering my team to come after him anyway, and...
Well, maybe you'll be a little quicker on the draw next time.
Next time, I won't let a bunch of fucking politicians get in my way.
Optimo growled. Well, I never do, I said, and then took a sip of black coffee. So, is this call just to congratulate me for my good work, or did you have something else on your mind?
I will hunt you down, Miles.
Optimo said.
Wherever you go, I will find you, and I'll put you down just like you did to the Shadow Knight.
Oh, better be careful, Optimo. You're starting to sound an awful lot like that evil genius character. Whatever happened to a good old-fashioned arrest?
Jail is too good for you,
the superhero said.
But maybe I'll spare Dynamo and that little blonde who's fallen under your spell. I have plans for them. And as soon as you're out of the picture, no one can stop me.
Well, good luck with that. But if you don't mind, I'd really like to finish my breakfast now. I hung up before Optimo could get in the final word. He wasn't going to tell us anything that we didn't already know, I said with a shrug.
Well, just in case there was any question about it, Optimo is definitely still an asshole. I don't think anybody had any doubts about that. Should we be worried about him? Or about the rest of the wardens?
You can always stay here in Greyville a little longer. I'm sure Julian would be happy to help you design any weapons or vehicles that you need to protect yourself against the wardens. And there are still plenty of small-time supervillains left for you to practice on. No, Greyville is all yours now. We'll find some other place to practice. And Eileen and I can handle any weapons and vehicles that we need to create. Well, Julian works for you now. Beacon's phone buzzed, and he glanced at the alarm. Oh, shit, I gotta go. I have a meeting with the investors about some new nanotechnology, and I can't be late. Go ahead. You've got a company to run, and a whole city to protect. So you've got your hands full. As Beacon pushed himself back from the table, Penumbra stood up next to him and flung her arms around his neck. Ah! Oh, God, you know I hate it when you do that. Beacon said and rolled his eyes.
Yeah, well, too bad. You like my brother, and since I'm going with Miles, I might, you know, not see you for a while.
Well, take care of yourself, Beacon said with a smile. And try to stay out of trouble.
Oh, I have a feeling we'll do nothing but get into trouble,
Penumbra said, with a wink at me.
But I'll do my best.
After everyone else told Beacon goodbye, I walked him to the door and shook his hand. You're a good kid, Adrian. Look after yourself. And call me if you ever need anything. I'm here for you. You too, Miles. And thanks for, well, everything. You've really changed my life. Hell, you changed everyone's lives. I stayed in the doorway until I watched Beacon drive away. I wasn't sure exactly where we would head next, even though I had a few ideas in mind, but wherever I thought that we might end up, I couldn't help but imagine that Optimo would just show up there anyway, and then we'd still have to face him and however many wardens he brought with him. Well, maybe I'd have Eileen run an algorithm to figure out which city Optimo would be least likely to go to, like some place that politics would be a hurdle for him to overcome before he could actually show up and try to arrest us. Well, after Beacon left, I exhaled and then went back to the kitchen to finish my coffee with the others. So, any votes on where we're headed next?
I believe I have something that may impact your decision of where we go next,
Eileen said.
I have continued to analyze all the files in the Shadow Knight system, and I believe that I have a surprise for you.
Really? I raised an eyebrow. Well, first you tell me that you can be jealous, and now you want to surprise me? Now you're becoming more and more human by the day.
I am merely evolving to better please you, Creator,
Eileen said.
So what's your surprise?
I found a DNA sequence that the Shadow Knight had hidden under layers and layers of encryption in a file labeled Contingency Plans.
The beautiful android replied.
And I have been working to analyze it to determine whose DNA it is.
It wasn't the Maniacs? It would make sense if it was, since they probably traded locks of hair with each other and little friendship bracelets and shit.
No, it was not the Maniacs,
Eileen said.
I just finished my analysis, and it appears to belong to Optimo.
All four of us turned toward my robotic assistant.
Excuse me? Did you just say that we have Optimo's DNA?
We have his DNA sequence, not an actual sample,
Eileen said.
But yes.
Holy shit, holy shit!
Damn, Eileen, I said with a grin. You're really something, you know that?
Could somebody please tell me what that means?
Oh, it means we're going the fuck back to Pinnacle City, I said with a grin.
But I thought...
If we have Optimo's DNA sequence, then we can figure out how all of his powers work. And we can figure out his weaknesses and how best to attack him.
Basically, it means that Optimo is toast. Or at least he will be by the time Miles finishes all of his analysis and everything. Oh!
The blonde levitation specialist clapped her hands.
Oh, then that's wonderful. And we get to go to Pinnacle City. You'll love it there, I promise. And that means we get to go back to the cellar. Oh, I've missed that place. What's the cellar?
Oh, it's where I do everything. If you think the basement workshop here is something, then just wait until you see what I have underneath my house in Pinnacle City.
Ooh, I can't wait. And I can't wait to wipe that smug look off Optimo's face, especially if we get to do it on our home turf.
It might still take a little bit of time to get everything ready to go head-to-head with him, but now we'll have Eileen's analysis of his DNA and the full resources of my cellar to help us out.
And you have us?
Norma piped up, and then pushed her oversized glasses up on her face again. Yes, I do, I said with a smile at all my women. So, yes, I'd say you're right, Norma. It's only a matter of time before this motherfucker is toast. I drained the last of my black coffee and looked around the table at all four of my women. Eileen looked deep in concentration, so she was probably already deep into her analysis of Optimo's possible weaknesses. And Elizabeth's turquoise eyes sparkled with excitement at the thought that we would return to Pinnacle City and face Optimo sooner than we first thought. Penumbra bit her lip and smiled back at me, but even though she seemed nervous, she looked every bit as excited as my girlfriend. And Norma? Norma looked like she had just found some sort of new confidence. Maybe it was the fact that we were going back home, or maybe it was something else completely, like whatever she had wanted to talk to me about privately, but she looked... different. Her hair was still mousy brown, and she still wore her usual frumpy clothes, but she sat up straighter in her chair, so her posture made it seem like her figure was more of an hourglass shape. She even adjusted her oversized glasses less than she usually did. And when she met my gaze now, her cheeks only turned slightly pink. But she smiled and didn't look away. I had this strange feeling that Norma would really start to come into her powers when we went back to Pinnacle City. As much as she enjoyed blood and violence, she also liked to feel safe and secure. And that meant she might need to feel at home before she explored all her powers. Sure, Optimo and the rest of the wardens were just waiting for us in Pinnacle City, but once we were ready for them, well, they wouldn't stand a chance against the five of us together. And when they were out of the picture, then shit could finally start to go back to the way it was supposed to be, where the good guys killed the bad guys, and the scum of the earth didn't get a second chance. Yeah, it was time to go home. End of Book 5.